The National Hockey League and National Hockey League Players Association announced today that forward Valeri Nichushkin of the Colorado Avalanche has been placed in Stage 3 of the Player Assistance Program of the NHLPA and NHL. Under the terms of the joint program, Nichushkin will be suspended without pay for a minimum of 6 months and then will be eligible to apply for reinstatement. It's the press release that sent shockwaves around the Avalanche fans, Avalanche faithful, Avalanche players, management, coaching staff, anybody and everybody related to this team and in connection with this team and following this team. Just ahead of Game 4 of their second round series against the Dallas Stars on Monday, May 13th, 6 month suspension minimum for the leading goal scorer in the NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs, I should say, Val Nichushkin, 9 goals in 8 games before sitting out for Game 4 where the Avalanche lost 5-1 and are now on the brink of elimination. Of course, this is Arif Dean, Mile High Sports. You're listening to Hockey Mountain High, your go-to Avalanche podcast. And this podcast is going to be very similar to how I went about my day on Monday, or my evening, I should say, where the hockey game kind of no longer matters. The outcome of that game has put the Avalanche on brink of elimination. Could the Avalanche come back and win Wednesday and Friday and Sunday, or at least Wednesday and Friday, force a game 7 on Sunday in Dallas? Perhaps. Which, by the way, I am recording this from a hotel in Dallas. It's Tuesday evening, so I will be there for game 5, hopefully not the final game of the Avalanche season, but we will see. So could the Avalanche find a way to force Game 7? Perhaps. But outside of like some kind of a pipe dream where, you know, teams rise up against adversity, there was no way in my mind that the Avalanche were going to win on Monday. Absolutely no way that an hour before scheduled puck drop, this press release that I just read at the beginning of this gets sent out. And then the Avalanche, who upon arriving at the arena, were told by Jared Bednar, the players, in a meeting in the locker room, that Val Nichushkin, who was at morning skate, available to media, well, he didn't speak, but he was available to media if spoken to, going about his normal routine. I saw him chatting up with some media members. I have a picture of him sitting in his locker stall from the morning of Monday, May 13. He's tying his skates or whatever, undoing his skate laces and replacing them. Going about his normal routine, getting ready to dress in Game 4. Probably on a line with Lekkonen and Mittelstadt, with Jonathan Drouin getting reunited with MacKinnon and Rantanen. And that was kind of the hope. Zach Parise slotting in on the third line. The Avalanche having all of their forwards available to them, obviously outside of Landeskog and O'Connor. But then this bombshell drops. They get to the arena. They find out he's not playing. And the reality is the way that this could deflate and demoralize a locker room, a dressing room, a team, you cannot truly, I don't want to say you can't truly understand it, because I think you guys have understood it just from seeing what we all saw in Game 4, the Avalanche halfway through the game, down 2-0, getting outshot 22-4. You cannot understate it. It's probably the best way to put it. Devon Toews also out with an illness. Jared Bednar said Tuesday morning to the media that was out in Denver that it has nothing to do with the Jamie Benn hit. I will hold my reservations until I see him play again. But this sucks. Absolutely sucks. Sucks in many ways. It's a depressing story in many ways. It kind of happened completely out of the blue. And this relationship that was growing stronger and stronger after a couple of bumps in the road over the last 13 months, I'm afraid, has probably met its end. And we don't know how it's going to end is the worst part. We don't know when it's going to end. We just know that it's become untenable. So the reality is for me, had the Avalanche players and coaching staff and everybody, which, by the way, Nathan MacKinnon also told reporters Tuesday morning in Denver that he found out shortly after morning skate. Well, he didn't say shortly after morning skate as much as he said that morning he found out after talking to Joe and Chris McFarland. So I don't know what time exactly this whole kind of came to light. It had to be shortly after that morning skate when he was preparing to go about his regular routine and do his thing. But you cannot convince me that that did not have anything to do with the loss. And not just the loss, but the performance the Avalanche put out. As Jared Bednar put it, he said, I thought we had all the, you know what, let me read the quote. But it was something about how he thought game four was going to be great. And boy, was he wrong, as he said. He said, I learned about it earlier today, sometime after pregame skate. Obviously not happy about it, but it is what it is. It's out of our control. And then he went on to say, where's the money quote from Jared Bednar? I felt like we were in a good spot today at morning skate and ready to go. Shows you how much I know. And then he kind of chuckled, I guess, because it wasn't very good. Losing Val Nichushkin, the player, in itself is tough. And that is very obvious. Could this team have rallied without him and won a game? Won a series? I think so. It ain't wouldn't be easy, but I think so. Had this been an EA Sports game, where you take out Val, you take out Taves from the lineup, you insert Caleb Jones, you insert Jonathan Drouin returning from the injury he suffered in Game 82. And if you told me that that was going to be the lineup change and it was an EA Sports video game, I would still tell you that when you simulate the game, the Avalanche would still have an opportunity to win it at home at Ball Arena in Game 4. Given what had transpired in Game 3, how they played to their in their eyes, they did a lot of the right things, but were frustrated and unable to kind of break through the Dallas Stars and had opportunities in the first 40 minutes. If you told me that that's what had happened, I would tell you the Avalanche probably win. My other scenario, if you told me that the Avalanche had morning skate and then an hour after morning skate, they announced that Devon Taves and Val Nichushkin are both out with an illness and Jonathan Drouin's going to return, I am still convinced the Avalanche put up a better effort and potentially win that game. But the demoralizing, deflating factor of how this transpired and what transpired, to me, is the reason why the Avalanche ended up in the scenario and in the situation that they ended up in when the final buzzer sounded in Game 4. I remember when I got back to the rink, I was deflated. Other media, we were deflated. We're all just like, what the fuck? Like, everybody's just kind of like, are you kidding me? And that feeling is what the players were feeling. They were completely thrown off, and it was so soon from puck drop, the day of a game again for Nichushkin, for this to happen. Not good. Like, there's no other way to explain how demoralizing this was. We all saw the Jack Johnson quote. Kale McCarr, I tweeted out what he told me privately after the main scrum had came in. The main scrum had ended. I came in late and asked him one final question about it, and he referenced last season. He referenced the Seattle incident. And in his nice Kale McCarr way, basically said, like, we can't handle this anymore. Not using those exact words, not quoting him, but watch the video. It's on my Twitter feed. It's about 30 seconds long of Kale McCarr answering the question of if something like this could deflate a team. It's beyond unfortunate. This is a guy that has all of the talent in the world. This is a guy that the team has invested so much in. And I'm not just talking about the whopping $49 million contract they gave him almost 24 months ago. I'm talking about the support from Chris McFarland, Jared Bednar, doubling down, tripling down, quadrupling down every single time something had happened over the last 13 months. The team, the players, the leaders, everybody would stand by him. I remember talking to Logan O'Connor. I remember talking to Nathan MacKinnon. I remember talking to Mikko Rantanen and Andrew Cogliano. Those were four that come to mind, and there were many more. When Val first entered the player assistance program in January, and not a single one of them said anything less than he was our best player in the 2022 Stanley Cup final. We support him. We love him. We want him to get better. And more importantly, we are here for him. And those words, we are here for him, those five words, I just don't know if that's the case anymore. Two things could be true. You hope for the best for Val Nichushkin as a human being, but on the business side of it, you just can't trust him anymore. You don't have to feel sorry for Val if you don't want to. There's a lot of debates going around on if you should feel sorry for him. And that's not for me to answer. That's not for me to tell you how to feel. That's not for you to tell me how to feel. That's not for anybody to tell anybody how to feel. And I quite honestly don't even want to share my feelings. Not that I'm saying I do or don't feel sorry for him. But it is a very reasonable take to hope for the best for him. Whether these things that are happening, addiction, failing a drug test, all the murmurs and rumors that are out there that are probably true, but we just can't verify and confirm them. No matter what it is that's happening with Nichushkin, whether they are self-inflicted or not, whether they are relapses or whether they are someone refusing to get the treatment that he needs to get or truly take the treatment seriously, is anybody's guess. I'm not here to make any kind of accusations toward Val or toward anybody. But it is, once again, a very reasonable take to hope for the best for him as a human, as a young father, as a husband, and as a guy, as a man. But it is equally okay and understandable to like the umpteenth degree to say you no longer want this guy around your hockey team. Because this opens up a can of worms, a can of questions, a can of the Avalanche just aren't going to have a quiet summer because of this. This opens up a case where you might have to start retooling on the fly. Is the MacKinnon, Makar, and Rantanen era done? Absolutely not. But you can also say 2024 might be the year that got away. And I'm recording all of this precisely 24 hours before puck drop of Game 5. Again, the season isn't over. The Avalanche could very well, now that they have a more clear mind, the Val stuff is behind them, they could come out in Game 5 and win it and come back home to Game 6 to a Ball Arena crowd that wasn't deflated and demoralized just as they got to the game, expecting to see Val and not seeing him there. And they might help the Avalanche and lend him a helping hand to finally win a goddamn game at home in this series and bring it back to Dallas for Game 7. Anybody's ballgame, flip a coin, and you might win it. It might land on heads, and you might be in the Western Conference Final. It's anybody's guess what happens. But the reality is, with this Val situation, with the fact that minimum 6 months brings him to mid-November, the regular season starts mid-October most likely, he's going to miss some time. His salary cap isn't going to count toward the team. And you're going to end up in a situation and in a case where the Avalanche are going to need to sign somebody to replace him. Number one, this opens up the opportunity to sign Jonathan Drouin. Obviously, you're re-signing Casey Mittelstadt. But on top of Drouin, you're probably going to need to bring in somebody else. Is it a free agent like a Teuvo Teravainen? If you think big, Jonathan Marchessault, Jake Guentzel? Is it a Jake DeBrusk? Or is this a scenario where you go out and trade? You use your first-round draft pick to trade for someone. Do you believe in Callum Ritchie this season? I mean, I personally think, with or without Val, with or without Val's replacement, you still believe in Callum Ritchie, but I don't think you'll be ready to give him a top-six spot just off the bat. A lot of question marks. Most importantly, how do you replace what Val does? Again, we're going to the business side of this now. It's impossible to replace what this guy does. He is truly, truly, truly a unicorn. And I hate the fact that on the last podcast I did before this one, I talked about Cale Meekhoe and Nate, and I said we can no longer speak about Cale Meekhoe and Nate in this era of Avalanche hockey without lumping Val Nichushkin in as part of the core four. For so long, it was Nate, Meekhoe, Gabe, and Cale. First-round draft pick, Nathan MacKinnon. Second-round draft pick, Gabe Landeskog. Fourth-round draft pick, Cale Makar. 10th round draft pick Mikko Rantanen. But we haven't seen Gabe Landeskog play hockey in 23 months. We're probably not going to see him until close to 30 months. Well, hopefully close to 28 months after his last game in Tampa Bay on June 26th, 2022. But because he hasn't been around for that long, I genuinely felt, and it's hard to kind of like let the reality settle in, that this is probably over with Val. But I truly felt MacKinnon, Rantanen, Makar, Nichushkin was the core four of this team and was going to be for the next 6+ years. He's that good. He enters the NHL Player Assistance Program in January with what was stage two of the Player Assistance Program. He's obviously now in stage three because he relapsed or did something against the treatment he was receiving in stage two. We all know now that stage one was when he disappeared from the Seattle thing, and that's, you know, the slap on the wrist. And we all know now that if you go see a Pierre LeBrun tweet, or it's on my article of Mile High Sports, I linked it in there, where he goes over the stages. Stage two was also an unpaid leave. He didn't get paid for 2 months, and now he's not going to get paid for 6 months out of this $49 million contract. So he's in stage three now, but he was in stage two in January. When he left, at the time that he had gone, he started the season with 1 goal in 10 games. Then he has his kid. 21 goals in his next 30 freaking games. Then he disappears. Comes back 2 months later, continues to play great, scores 2 goals in the season finale, scores 9 goals in the next 7 playoff games, riding high, 11 goals in 8 games. 11 goals in 8 games. Like, I need to repeat that. 11 goals in 8 games. Then he doesn't score in game 3, despite having a pretty decent game. 11 goals in 9 games. Never to be seen again. Probably ever in an Avalanche uniform. Like, that's some heartbreaking stuff. The business side of it. The personal side of it. Jared Bednar's quote about learning about Val, his family, getting to know him, hoping that he can find peace, hoping that he can get the help he needs. It's riveting stuff, man. It's sad to listen to. It's unfortunate. It's heartbreaking because so many people want this guy to succeed and love this guy. The ovation he got when he returned in March, my goodness. This city, this fan base, this team, this organization truly, genuinely rallied behind this guy, the city. For those of you that have been a longtime listener, you guys know that I opened and run a boxing gym in Cherry Creek, and then in the Cherry Creek North neighborhood. And Val lives right there and is always walking around, loves that area. Loves to take his kid out for a stroll. Loves to go for walks with his wife in that area. I see him 5 or 6 times a week in that area, aside from when I see him at the rink and in the room. He really felt at home here. And that might all be gone now. And the reality is, he probably has nobody to blame but himself. Maybe it was a relapse. Maybe he's doing his best, but maybe he isn't. We don't know. Or let me say that again. Maybe it's a relapse. Maybe he's doing his best to overcome these addictions. And obviously, alternatively, maybe he isn't. We genuinely don't know. All we know is that this was way more sudden than a year ago. It felt like those problems were behind, and now here we are. So how do you replace Val? Because that's kind of what sent me on this tangent when I was talking about the business side of it and kind of got sucked back into the emotional side of it. Like, I'm genuinely heartbroken for this. And I'm not the kind of Avalanche fan I was 5 years ago before I started doing this. This job kind of beats the fandom out of you. You don't really cheer for the winners or losers anymore. You don't feel as bad doing this for 5 seasons professionally as you would as a fan if or when the Avalanche get eliminated. Or if you won't feel as good if or when they win the Stanley Cup. You just enjoy the ride, enjoy telling the stories, and enjoy your job more than anything. I'm heartbroken that on Wednesday night, if the Avalanche lose, I won't get to cover a hockey game for 5 months. This is my dream job. That's the feeling that I would feel more than the feeling of what used to be my crazy fanatical favorite hockey team lost. so it's hard to get sucked, like to not get sucked into the emotions of this. And despite all of that, despite the fandom not being what it once was, this is all still very heartbreaking and honestly just tough to deal with. I was really bummed on Monday. I had heard some murmurs earlier in the day, 12 or 1 p.m., that something behind the scenes is going on with Landeskog, and we didn't have any way to really confirm it. Avalanche PR would not confirm it. They were reached out to and did not really give us any information. So we just had to wait for the inevitable Band-Aid to be ripped off by the league, which happened at 6:30 as I was arriving at the rink. And as I was arriving at the rink, I'm like, man, is Val going to play? What the hell is that information I heard? And there's no way it's real. It's 2024. It's not 2023. This isn't Seattle. This isn't all that. And then lo and behold, it happens. The news breaks and he's gone. Riveting stuff. You guys all saw the picture I posted. Jean-Luc Foudy's stall has taken over where Val Nichushkin used to be. He's already been removed from the stall, his nameplate. Same thing at the practice rink, according to reporters that were there. Where Val sits in the practice rink, he's been there since I got here in 2019, his first year. Used to be between Kadri and Kamenev. Vladislav freaking Kamenev. That's how long he's been in that spot. It is going to be so strange to go to Family Sports and not see him in that spot. And it's so unfortunate. So I get distracted again, but let's go back to the business side. It's nearly impossible to replace what he does. One way it is possible, and if you didn't need him already, if you didn't hope for him to get better already, you probably need and hope for him to be there more now than you did 48 hours ago. Gabe Landeskog. Because there's an alternate universe where Gabe Landeskog comes back. Is he going to be the guy that scored 30 goals in 50 games or whatever the hell he had? And 11 in the playoffs? Playing the best hockey of his life and probably just lost the two best years of his career? Like, imagine Landeskog playing on a line with 140-point Nate. Or with the 111-point Nate from a year ago. There's an alternate universe where Landeskog has 95 points in each of the last 2 years. There's an alternate universe where he somehow hits 100 in one of these years. Just like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins randomly did for the Edmonton Oilers. Probably never going to happen again for him. That universe is there. The guy in Edmonton that just scored 50-plus goals. The guy in Florida that just scored 50-plus goals. The guy in New York and Chris Kreider that scored 50-plus goals a few years ago. Those one-time accomplishments that are probably not going to happen again. There's an alternate universe where Gabe Landeskog does that. So is he going to be that player if he actually gets healthy and plays? Probably not. But if Landeskog can heal enough where he's unaffected by the knee, even if the fact that he took 30 months off of hockey or whatever the hell it is, 28 months, only allows him to be a 25 goal, 25 assist guy, it's the way he plays the game that would be so crucial for the Avalanche to have in the lineup. And there's a universe in the future where Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Rantanen are together at last. Again, 24-25 season. And on the second line, you have Lehkonen. You have Mittelstadt, and you have money to go out and sign someone like Teuvo Teravainen. Why not get another Finnish winger in? Why not? There's a universe where that happens and you still have the money to pay Jonathan Drouin on the third line. But in this universe, you're finding a way to get out of Val's contract. And I don't want to get too deep into that, all the different scenarios that I'm thinking of, because I think that's a conversation for later, because I do want to write an article about all the different ways I think the Avalanche could and should go about this, all the different scenarios that could play out. Right now, all we know is this is not grounds for termination as of now. We'll see what happens in the future. But we also know that his $6.125 million will be off the books until he is reinstated, if or when he is reinstated. That's the most important thing. This isn't a clear-cut six-month suspension where Val Nichushkin's welcoming back into the lineup on November 13. In Seattle, that whole thing happened in April of 2023. 7 months later, he was back in the player assistance program. 3 months later, he's back in stage 3 now, well, 4 months later. So in order for Val to be cleared in 6 months, he has to be crystal clear, clean, doing everything asked of him, and putting in the effort over the next 180 days. And there's no telling if that's going to happen. Again, I'm not accusing him of refusing treatment. I'm not accusing him of half-assing the treatment. I don't know. None of us do. We can make assumptions. We can make guesses. But me as a journalist, I'm not going to do that. All I'm saying is, this isn't a 6-month suspension. Suspended for 180 days because of God knows what, and you're back on day 181. There is a lot of ifs, ands, and buts in this. Can apply to reinstate in 180 days. Where's the PA going to be? Where's the NHL going to be? So there's many different ways that the Avalanche could go about handling the situation. What I will say is this about Val. I'm not ready to say he never... I mean, despite everything that I've said over the last 25 minutes, I've been babbling. I'm not ready to say that Nichushkin is never going to play a game ever again for the Avalanche. I don't know that to be true. I don't think it happens. I don't want it to happen. It's unfortunate, but I don't think it should happen anymore. These guys don't trust him anymore, the players. And I don't think Chris McFarland should stick his neck out on the line for this guy again. I think the Chris McFarland era is going to be defined by this Val Nichushkin situation and how they get out of it. We saw him get out of the Nazem Kadri situation, and it's because he had a golden chip in Bowen Byram. We're going to see the Landeskog situation and now the Nichushkin one. Landeskog obviously out of McFarland's control. But this Nichushkin one, it's truly going to define his tenure with the Avalanche, because he wasn't the GM when the Avs won the Cup. He was the AGM. That was the Joe Sakic era. The 2022 Stanley Cup, the pinnacle of that year, was the pinnacle and the final moments of the Joe Sakic era. This is the Chris McFarland era. And it will be defined, in my opinion, by this Val Nichushkin situation and how it plays out. So I'm not ready to say quite yet that he will never, ever play a game for the Avalanche ever again, even though I think that that's what's going to happen. But what I will confidently say, and there's no sourcing to this, this is my personal prediction. There is absolutely no way in hell that Val Nichushkin is part of this team in the 2024-2025 season. If everything goes well, he doesn't refuse treatment, he does everything he needs to do, he doesn't half-ass it, and over the next 180 days, Val truly, genuinely gets clean. He's a whole new person. The Avalanche sit his ass down and tell him he's not playing. How do you make that work with the salary cap? Great question. Is there a team suspension that can be implemented? Great question. I don't know, and I won't go that far into it. You know, that's a conversation for Chris McFarland, Joe Sakic. All I know is that NHL teams have done weirder stuff. The Corey Perry situation swept under the rug. Mike Richards swept under the rug. We've seen these things happen before, and I think the Avalanche will do everything in their power to ensure that Val Nichushkin is not on their salary cap books for the entire 2024-25 season. If this guy shows up November 13, he's clean, he's healthy, he's the 40-goal guy that can play the next 70 games, because you'll only be 10 or 11, 12 games into the regular season by then. Over the next 70 games, can give you 40 goals, can be the guy on the top line, even with a healthy Landeskog. He'll probably play above Landeskog on the top line because he's that goddamn good at what he does, as we've seen over the last month with his 11 goals in his last 9 NHL games. Even if all of that came true, this team needs to sit him down and say, you're not coming back this year. We cannot hedge another year of McKinnon, Rantanen, and Makar relying on you to disappear on us in the playoffs. Fool me once, shame on me, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. It's at twice. We get to a third time, blow it all up. The management core, what are we doing? That's the way that I think it should play out. And then in the summer of 2025... you have a conversation. Maybe you're celebrating a Stanley Cup parade, because this team still does employ some of the most talented players in the NHL. Potentially the reigning Hart Trophy winner by next season. Potentially the Norris Trophy winner in that season, 24-25. Summer of 2025, if this if scenario plays out. that everything goes well for Val Nichushkin and he gets healthy. He takes the treatment. He gets the treatment. He busts his ass off to become a new person by November 2024. And he's ready to play. You sit his ass down. You win a Stanley Cup or you don't, whatever. And in summer 2025, if you've seen nothing go wrong between November of 24 and July of 25, and you want to reopen the conversation with him, at that point you do. If not, you buy him out, you trade him. Maybe he accepts a mutual contract termination to get the hell out of this situation, even though he would be leaving a lot of money he'd be leaving a lot of money kind of just letting it go. There's going to be a way that this is going to play out where I can't speak for the future years yet, but the 2024-2025 season, under no circumstance can Valeri Nichushkin be a part of the Colorado Avalanche. And God damn, is that a hard thing to say. The media room knows it as much as anybody. I am the biggest Val Nichushkin fan out there. Even though every single time I try to befriend him, every single time I try to approach him, I try to talk to him, he says, no, I don't want to talk. He's a shy guy, and that's okay. But the style of game that this guy plays, my goodness. Knowing that he's not going to play for the Avalanche probably ever again, so suddenly, coming off of him tying the NHL record for a goal-scoring streak to start a Stanley Cup playoff season, I never in a million years thought on Thursday, May 14, I would be saying these words. And it sucks. In the end, I am a hockey fan, and Val Nichushkin is one of the most entertaining players to watch. He's a different kind of entertaining than what Makar does, than what MacKinnon does. But damn, is he good at hockey. And that's the part that makes us all such a shame.